Thank you, and good Saturday, everyone. Welcome into the Bonesville pregame podcast. Al Myatt, joined by Kevin Monroe. Kevin, of course, an outstanding defensive back in his playing days at East Carolina. And I was telling somebody, an Orlando radio station, I did an interview with them on Tuesday night. I was telling them about the podcast on Bonesville and recalled how Kevin played in the wins over Miami and NC State back in 1999. And we long for the glory days, but a great opportunity coming up for the Pirates this week. And Kevin, of course, will be on the Pirate Radio Network helping Jeff Charles describe the action and offer his insight on what's going on the surface of Dowdy Ficklin Stadium as the Pirates host Central Florida, UCF. I think they're number 9 in the coaches' poll, number 10 in the AP poll, and there were some losses ahead of them, but I guess the American is kind of like Rodney Dangerfield, don't get no respect, and they didn't move up to any noticeable extent, but that's kind of the case. They beat the team that beat Alabama last year, Alabama the playoff champion. But Kevin, UCF comes in with 19 straight wins, and we were talking a moment ago about what's different this week about East Carolina. Holton Ahlers is going to start at quarterback, and of course he's a legend coming out of D.H. Conley High School close by, and his dad Morgan is up there with you in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium atop the field there in the temporary quarters doing the PA. And, you know, it's this kind of a different turn coming off a 42-20 loss where you're kind of looking forward to next week's game and, of course, the kickoff tonight with UCF. Share your thoughts, if you would, Kevin.
Yeah, I think Temple was a disappointing week in that you felt like it was a team that the Pirates could compete with, and it was never a competitive game. Defense played poorly, offense played poorly, special teams played poorly, and it really just gave you just kind of a sour taste in your mouth, specifically because coming into the season, the one hope that the Pirates had was all of the excitement around David Blackwell and the things he wanted from this defense. I mean, he literally said from day one, his first interview, I want this defense to be number one in the country. And he knew obviously he was going to have to build something and recruit and get there. And you know, maybe it was just talk, but it was just the aggression that he had, the intensity that he had. You said, okay, if he can get these defensive players to play like this, we may have something. And I likened it to Coach LeClaire when he stepped on campus at East Carolina, said, we're going to Omaha. We're going to the College World Series. And he kept saying it, and all the players were like, this guy's crazy. We've never been more than 500 in the last several years. We haven't even gotten to a regional in a few years. And then all of a sudden, you know, they go on this run of, you know, I don't know, 15, 16, more than that, straight regionals. And so you kind of build this aura about it, and then all of a sudden people start to believe in it. And I truly believe that the Pirates will go to Omaha within the next couple of years. And so that's the kind of thing that David Blackwell has brought. And then you get to that Temple game, and all of a sudden the defense looked like the defense of last year and the year before. And you thought, wow, what happened? I thought we turned a corner. But the defense came back last week, you know, against Houston. I felt much better about things. Several stops on the run game. They had tough sledding all day long trying to run the football, including the quarterback, who Derek King, who was such a dynamic player. He couldn't do anything in the run game. And in the pass game either. I felt like the team was just really good on third down. They got off the field. Now, I say all that, and you obviously know they scored 40-plus points. But as we talked about earlier, there's a fumble return for a touchdown. There's three interceptions. There's several three and outs by the defense. So many things were scoring against that defense, and they played, I thought, very, very well for the amount of time they were on the field. So kudos to them. That does give you some excitement coming back into tonight's game, because you know that you have another great opponent coming in. But the fact that you know that defense can play like that, and then as you mentioned, Holton Ahlers, you know, I've seen him play for several years. As I mentioned in previous podcasts, my nephews both played at D.H. Conley with him. And so we all know what he can do. We all know what to expect. But the thing that I like about him is that even when the first read and the second read and third read is not there and it all breaks down, he can use his legs and he can take off, he can get yards. We don't have that with Reed Herring. The coaches keep telling us that he's a runner, but we just don't see it on Saturdays. And so we know Holton will pull it down and run it, and the team's going to have to account for that. They're going to have a quarterback spying him. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see the things that they worked on this past week in practice and what he's going to do in his first start. Obviously, you know, things won't be easy. You know, he's a true freshman, but it's still a lot of excitement around him.
Well, Kevin, Holton Ahlers, of course, I don't know if, you know, he created a false sense of confidence because he did go in and end a seven-quarter scoreless touchdown streak where the Pirates had not gotten into the end zone, which dated back to the Temple game, I believe. But he wasn't playing against the first unit of the Houston defense, Ed Oliver.
There was no Ed Oliver out there.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a one-man gang. And Coach Montgomery said this week they were double-teaming him, and he was beating the double team. So they couldn't even figure out how to block him, to double-team him sometimes the way Houston was lining him up. And but at any rate, Holton went in. He threw to Trayvon Brown. Trayvon had a big game, 13 catches, 153 yards, and he had two catches for 22 yards at Temple. He had a better game. He was designed to be a bigger part of the game plan. And then Holton had a keeper for a touchdown, and he just breathed some life into that offense, albeit, you know, perhaps reserves from Houston. But nevertheless, we saw something that we hadn't seen for seven quarters, and we didn't do that against Temple, and they got into their bench pretty good too. So it's time. You know, they brought Holton along. They didn't want to put too much on his plate to begin with, but I think he's got a sufficient grasp of the offense now, and Coach Montgomery says they will expand the game plan for him this week in terms of the package they have designed. And you know, I haven't had this feeling going to an East Carolina game for quite some time, just being realistic about things, but Holton Ahlers kind of creates that sense of confidence and anticipation.
Well, what they did, Al, in Holton in the fourth quarter of that game was they kept it simple, and I expect them to keep it simple again tonight. And what I mean by that is not that they're, you know, condensing the playbook. I think they're going to open up the playbook. But if you think about it, all the passes that he threw, or the majority of the passes that he threw, were in between the numbers, right? So you had a lot of guys running slant routes, stop routes, skinny posts, drags, things that were in his face. They kept away. He wasn't throwing back shoulder fades. He wasn't throwing deep outs. He wasn't throwing corner routes. He wasn't throwing wide and deep down the field, right? So they kept it simple, where it was nice, easy throws, where it was a quick one-step, two-step, three-step drop, and he's hitting guys right where he sees them. And so he's got one, two, three quick reads in a span of 30 yards across the middle of his face. And when you split out four wide receivers, all of a sudden you've got linebackers and safeties guarding those receivers in the middle of the field. So you hit guys like Trayvon Brown on quick slants, or DeAndre Ferrier when he's healthy and out there, or Blake Prohl across the middle, Taj Deans, Henley, guys like that. And so they kept it easy for him, and he's a good, accurate thrower. He's got a strong arm, so he can hit those guys quick. So maybe he doesn't have all the throws in his bag of tricks that Reed Herring had, and he'll develop that. But as long as you don't make him do too much, just give him some easy reads to throw to. If they aren't there, pull it down and run it, or throw the ball away. I think he'll be fine, and that's the key. And this UCF defense is pretty good. I mean, they're holding teams to under 20 points a game, but they haven't had the toughest schedule. They haven't been tested, and I think that's the reason they were kind of disrespected in the polls, because you're undefeated, you've won 19 in a row, but the toughest team you've played yet was Memphis, was just outside the top 25 when you played them, and they almost beat you. And so it's kind of like, yeah, should we move you up? But right now you're playing like a team that's 10 or below. So we'll see how they come out and play. Obviously, they're going to want the respect they didn't get last week, so they're going to come like gangbusters. But I really expect to see Holton be just as effective running against the ones as he was late in that game if they keep it simple and kind of go with the same game plan.
Well, Kevin, I think another element for Holton Ahlers is the read option, and his running ability can kind of assist Darius Penix, Anthony Scott, Hussein Howe, who's ever back there at running back, in terms of their production.
Yeah, no question. And there's really no such thing as loading the box on a team that has four wide receivers out, right? It's not like, you know, teams playing against Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley in the NFL where they put eight people in the box and they say, we're going to man you up with our corners and our safeties. It's not like that. If the Pirates put four or five wide receivers out there, they have to respect all those folks or Holton's going to pull that ball out on the read option and throw the ball downfield. So they've got to split out wide. They can't leave more than six or seven in the box, and he's going to have plenty of opportunities to have run and pass options on play. So, yeah, he'll run that zone option. Sometimes he'll stick it in the gut of Penix or Howell. Sometimes he'll take it around the end and run it himself, or sometimes he'll pop up and throw a pass. So certainly Coach Peterson and Coach Mo have been working all week long on different, you know, options that they have. And this is really the first week they've had where they've had a quarterback that they could do all these things. Because, again, Reed wasn't keeping the ball and running any at all. And so this is, I'm sure, an exciting weekend. I know I'd be excited as an offensive coordinator week to be able to plan for a quarterback that has all these abilities. So we'll see. We're obviously getting excited because we haven't had great quarterback play at all this season. And I'm not saying he's going to come in and play great, but I think he's got more upside than what we've seen so far.
Well, you know, I appreciate what Reed Herring did in the wins. He had a great game against North Carolina. And, you know, think about what this season might have been like if East Carolina didn't win that game. And then, got the Pirates in position for a winning field goal by Jake Verity against Old Dominion. 2-2 at that point. And a good effort in between against South Florida, a game in which Reed hurt his ankle. And I don't think he could step into his throws quite as well after that injury. That may have been a factor in his production. But, Reed has done some good things, but I think it is Holton Ahler's time. And we'll look forward to that. Kevin, it's a tradition with Bonesville. Kevin's keys to the game.
Well, I talked about it a little bit a minute ago with Holton Ahler. I think you keep it simple, but you allow him to use the talents that are God-given. Let him use his feet, let him use his strong arm, but don't try to do too much. And so from the offensive standpoint, open up the playbook as much as you want, but try to keep it simple. Don't have him back there thinking, let him just react and play. I think that's the first thing. Defensively, listen, Mackenzie Milton and this offense, it's just unbelievable. They go so fast, it's going to be hard just to get lined up. So all I can say to that is, try to make them earn every drive they get. Make them push the ball down the field 80 yards. Stay away from the big play. Don't let them get the big play on you. You got to keep them to 20 yards or less. If they start making big plays downfield, it's going to be a long, long night. They're going to put up a ton of points. So you got to keep them shy of the big play. And then also, somebody from East Carolina's got to be a playmaker. Somebody's got to step up. If that's Trayvon Brown, if that's Hussein Howe, if that's Holton Ahler, whoever that name is. We haven't seen a whole lot from some of the receivers like DeAndre Ferry and Blake Prohl lately. So somebody's got to really step up and be a playmaker and go out there and get 150 yards, 200 yards receiving and a couple touchdowns if they expect to stay in this ballgame.
Well, Kevin, we're overdue to generate some turnovers too, I think, but maybe that will change. And, of course, we'll see what we see and hope for the best. And, Kevin, I look forward to talking with you next week on the Bonesville Pregame Podcast.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Al.
This is our ship. Bloody Pirates!